Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally Olcourty, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest is Roger Landry, or the Liberty Beacon. That's the name of the paper that he is in charge of, and he sent me an article that he had written. The URL says CDC Crimes Against Humanity, but the longer title is CDC Equals Corruption, Disinformation, and Complicity. And you can find that article directly under the screen. There's a live link. However, I'm going to post it also in the comment area because when I opened the live link, it gave me a warning. So Roger Landry is going to give us five reasons to disband the CDC. And they're directly from the article, which is a superb article and very concise. Okay. Hi, Roger.
How are you?
Well, I hope you heard the introduction.
Yes, I did. And I thought it
was quite fun. So you know that when you open the link to your article directly under the screen, it'll warn you.
I don't know why it's warning. It just says you're leaving Facebook, and then you just press continue on, and it lets you go on. I don't even know what the warning is.
But that is the warning. Normally that doesn't happen. That's my whole point. You know, they give you a wonderful website, novaccine.com, which now says it'll destroy your computer if you open it. You open it, and it doesn't destroy your computer. But most people will just not proceed. Anyway, so now you wrote a very comprehensive article, even though we've had many discussions in terms of what's wrong with the CDC, including negligence. I'm going to find an article in regard to their releasing viruses and going, oops, you know, that's also important. You don't address that, but you address so much in this article. I'm just going to let you embark.
Well, I got to tell you that the article was, I had to pick five things, okay, because I couldn't write a book. I couldn't write a 30,000-word article. So I picked the five things that had been amid discussions I was having at the time with other vaccine or anti-vaccine activists. And it's by far the short list. But I want to know how you'd like me to do this. Would you like me to read through the article, or would you like me to tell you what pissed me off enough to write the article?
Well, you know, the article is available, so why don't you tell us what pissed you off enough to write the article? And it's never a bad idea to go point by point because these are all very separate, very important points, so I would not wish you not to make them. So start off with your inspiration.
Well, we've got to stop and consider for a second that, and especially myself, I'm 61 years old. I'm just a tad over three generations old. I remember being born into a society where we didn't know any autistic children, where we didn't know any children with autoimmune dysfunctions, where we didn't know any children with cognitive dysfunctions, where we didn't know anybody with food allergies. We did see allergies occasionally or things like that. But when I was a young kid, you had to literally go well off the beaten path to find anybody who qualified for these situations. Let's hearken back to a simpler time in the late 1950s, early 1960s. You've got to understand that organizations like the EPA didn't even come into being until 1970, but the CDC was around and the FDA was around, but they were, again, still relatively new or relatively untried in their power or their ability to suck up to a big pharmaceutical, to the bio industry, to the chemical industry. But let's talk about that for just a second, because when we talk about the late 50s, the early 60s, we're talking about just about the most vibrant and healthy society on the planet. Now, in come the big guns, the EPA, the CDC, the FDA, the USDA. Let's take a look at what has happened since the United States government has stepped into our lives in all of these areas to help keep Americans safe and healthy. Let's take a look at this, okay? Now, I've written articles corresponding articles on the GMO aspect, on the fluoride aspect, on all of the other aspects of things that have happened over the last three generations. The article I sent to you, since you basically focus on the vaccine issue, was the one, the rant that I had done on the vaccine issue. But to put everything into context, okay, before the FDA grabbed a hold of us, before the CDC grabbed a hold of us, before the EPA grabbed a hold of us, and those are the three big guns, we lived in one of the healthiest, if not the healthiest and most vibrant societies on the planet. Enter the three big guns, okay? Today, America is the sickest society on this planet, bar none. That is not a guess. We have the highest level of cognitive dysfunctions on the planet, which include Alzheimer's, which include dementia, which include autism, which include ADHD. That's right. America is the number one gold medal winner in cognitive dysfunction. America is the number one gold medal winner when it comes to autoimmune deficiencies, which cover a myriad of diseases. And these are chronic diseases that stick with you for a lifetime. I can go on and on where America sits health-wise on this planet today. We have the most expensive ecosystem on the planet. We're supposed to have the highest standard of living on the planet, and we are the sickest nation of the on the planet. We have the highest infant mortality rate in the industrialized world. We have one of the fastest rising levels of infertility on the planet. None of this is a guess. All of this can be Googled, and it'll pop right up in your face. The government's never going to tell you this. But prior to these three big dogs, the CDC, the EPA, and the FDA, marching headstrong into our lives, we have the healthiest and most vibrant society on the planet. Today, after three generations of the big dogs, with my special emphasis on the CDC and the vaccine schedule, we live in the sickest society on the planet. I can say, without any issues whatsoever, none, we would have been much better off in a much healthier society had the EPA, the CDC, and the FDA never existed. And they are private corporations traded on Dun & Bradstreet. They are for-profit corporations, whether people realize that or not. You add that with their revolving door, I'll serve a directorship at the CDC, then I'll come back and be your vice president, then I'll go back and be a director of the EPA, then I'll come back and be your director of whatever. If we put all of this together, what we're ending up with is agencies, if they ever did, certainly don't anymore have as their mandate the protection and the health of the American people. Because if they did, how can you prove a track record like the one I just gave you? The CDC is responsible for the biggest, and FDA are responsible for the biggest decline in American health in their history. When the EPA came into being in 1970, there were 34 or 36 Superfund sites around the country that caused the birth of the EPA to clean up these toxic sites. Today, we have 124,000 known toxic sites in the United States, and their levels of toxicity are as much as and exceed a million times what caused the creation of the EPA. So again, what has the EPA done for us in three generations? They have turned us into the most polluted country on the planet, with the highest levels of toxins exposed to the population of just about any country on this planet. Are you catching all this, Allie? Are you catching the fact that the three agencies whose main mandate is to protect our health and keep us alive and safe have lorded over the biggest decline in the health and the safety of this nation in its entire history? I don't challenge anybody to prove what I just said wrong. I dare you to prove it wrong.
I'm going to prove you right. I have to tell you what, I had a conversation last night at a bus stop. This is very important. And it just hit me last night. And it's huge, and it relates to everything you're saying. I was speaking, as I do at bus stops, while the people wait for the bus. I educate them about vaccines. I do this twice a week for several hours in the evening.
One of the reasons I love you so much, lady, feet on the ground.
Well, what really came through last night and was a revelation to myself, not just the woman I was speaking to, she had told me of all of the illnesses in the children, in her grandchildren. And
yes,
they were, of course, well, let me finish, please. This is a very short but important point I'm going to make. She was talking about allergies, and she was talking about asthma. She talked about diabetes, leukemia, and one of her nephews has been accused of shaken baby syndrome. Now, we all know these as outcomes of vaccines, but what I didn't expect to slip from my lips, which just did, was you're going to outlive your grandchildren.
I would tell you that I had a quote from Dr. David Lewis on my show the other day, whereby I asked him, do you think it's possible? And this is a 45-year PhD microbiologist, okay? Do you believe that we are seeing the first generation that will live of children who will have a shorter lifespan than their parents? And his answer was, absolutely.
But I'm saying their grandparents are going to outlive them. That's what I'm saying.
Right. I was just adding fuel to your fire. That was just another point of view, that we're looking at the first generation that won't live.
This to me is startling. This is why I say I came to this awakening while I was speaking to this grandmother. You know? It's astonishing.
Yep.
Because with the SV40, there are parents who are outliving their children. But with the 74 doses in New York City and rising, the grandparents will outlive their children too, their grandchildren.
Yes. I wholeheartedly believe that. And if you go through this article that you so kindly put up for everybody, you're going to find out this is a true multimedia article. It has links to quite a few other articles. It has videos. It has two radio shows that I did with outstanding guests, including the makers of Trace Amounts. I have them both here in a radio interview I did. But this is a true multimedia article, and it is a absolute attack on the CDC. And I'm saying that verbally, not physically, okay? I don't want anybody knocking on my door saying that I threatened to harm somebody at the CDC. But this is a full-blown, full-frontal attack. Some of the things I discuss is the food allergies. It's been known for a very, very long time that by the CDC, through research they funded and did, that chronic food allergies are a byproduct of vaccinations. They use peanut oil in them. They use other extracts from foods in them. And when you do that, what you basically do is train the immune system to think of that peanut or whatever else as something that's attacking the body. They've known this for generations, and they have done nothing. How many children have suffered? How many children have lost their lives, gone into anaphylactic shock, couldn't get them to a hospital on time? These kids die, okay? When we talk about food allergies, a lot of people think we're talking about, okay, I eat something and makes me itchy and I scratch or I sneeze a lot. A peanut allergy or other specific or food-specific allergies can be deadly. And very quickly, if you go into anaphylactic shock and there's nobody around that knows what the hell to do, you're checking out. So for anybody who doesn't think, and which nation on the planet suffers the highest level of food allergies? Gee, that would be the same nation on this planet that suffers the highest exposure to vaccinations. But that's a coincidence, right? Let me tell you what I think a coincidence is. A coincidence is the tool of tyrants, okay, and the belief of fools. I'm not a fool.
That's very poetic, Roger.
Well, I make up these things called memes, and I have these little brain burps every once in a while where I actually think of something intelligent. and I've made up about 350 of them so far. One of my favorites is because we have so many petty leaders, whether it's in Facebook groups, pages, organizations, websites, whatever. And the biggest reason we're not all locked arm in arm, every anti-vaccine group out there, every anti-big pharma group out there, is because of the pettiness of the leadership of most of these groups. And one of the memes I made up that is also the theme for our new project, and we just launched a new project called the American Freedom and Unity Project, but that meme states that a true leader is distinguished by those they choose to stand beside them, not behind them.
I saw that. I like that very much.
What we're looking at here is, yes, our failure to unite has a lot to do with economics, has a lot to do, but the two biggest factors in our failure to unite are our leadership and our inability to understand that the vaccine issue is related to the GMO issue. And the GMO issue is related to the geoengineering issue. And the GMO issue is related to the fluoride issue. They all have the same root causes. They all do. They all go back to the same people. The day we realize that the eight different major topics we are all railing against in our own little worlds out there all go back to the same cast of individuals is the day we will see a movement towards unity that has never been matched. And that was the reason to launch the American Freedom and Unity Project, to go out and educate people that if you're railing against vaccines, you're also railing against big pharma. If you're railing against geoengineering, you're also railing against GMOs. And that we are all fighting the same war, we're just in different battles. One more thing, then I'd like your opinion on this, okay? I spent my entire adult life, with the exception of the last few, working either directly in or for the military or the military-industrial complex. I'm very, very, very aware of what it takes to fight a battle or a war. And you do not go into a war with a pistol. You go into a war with a pistol, a rifle, a machine gun, a tank, an aircraft carrier, a submarine, a dive bomber. Are you catching my drift? Multiple weapons for multiple attacks in multiple directions. Overwhelm the enemy. Give them no place to run. What the hell do you think is happening to America? We are the most vaccinated society on the planet. We are the most GMO'd society on the planet. We are the most geoengineered society on the planet. We are the most fluoridated society on the planet. Need I go on? We are in the crosshairs on this planet at a higher degree than any other society that exists today. America is under... Why are we gone from the healthiest to the sickest society in three generations? I just told you. But why am I making this point? Because there is a war against humanity, and America, by the elitist eyeballs, must go to their knees first and set an example. That's why we're in the crosshairs of all of these. But if you don't think that they're not all related, and they're not all weapons being used against the American public in an all-out war against the American public, then you haven't been listening to what Sally's been saying, what I've been saying, and what so many other good people are literally talking themselves to death trying to explain to you. If it was only one of these, we would say, hey, let's take them on and take them down. But can you name me a direction we're not being attacked in? Our health, our economic well-being. The water we drink, the air we breathe, the food we eat, the medications we take, the vaccines we receive, every single direction. This is the way you fight a war. And the CDC is one of the battleships in that elitist task force.
Well, I would like to address that, if I may. I just wrote to Code Pink. Now, Code Pink National acknowledges when I send information about vaccines, which I appreciate, and Anne Wright and oh, her name is slipping my mind. I don't know why. Benjamin, what is her name? A little woman, feisty as the day is long. Medea Benjamin. Well, I'm just saying Medea Benjamin. I used to be an anti-war activist before I realized the war was on our children. So I wrote.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
I'm just saying I wrote a letter to Code Pink, and I sent them an invitation to our action on the steps of City Hall, where we're asking people at 4 p.m. this Sunday to speak for those who cannot. Now, who cannot speak when it comes to vaccines? It's dead children, autistic children. These are people who cannot speak for themselves. And quite frankly, even the HPV victims, although they have the ability to speak, they don't have the energy to speak. I am still interviewing the parents of those victims because except for a girl who was fallen ill from one shot, I have not been able to speak to the girls themselves. So that's telling you how dire, although living and although not mentally retarded or damaged, they don't have the energy to speak. So I'm saying speak for those who cannot. And I wrote a letter to Code Pink, and I said, will you kindly acknowledge the silent war on our children? And when I say our children, I mean children all over the globe. But especially, as you say, in the United States, we could not be under a greater assault, our children, than they are here in the United States. So I just basically reached out to them because I've been approaching the people. I used to be a camera person. I used to cover and air the anti-war movement for the grandmothers against the war, the Granny Peace Brigade, the Granny this and Granny that. And they are not stepping forward and taking a stand on this. Even the woman who ran the oldest peace organization in the country and the most radical, her husband died of the flu shot. And I said, well, would you like me to read his name because we're reading the name of the injured and dead? And she said, well, I can't prove it, so you better not read it. I'm like, oh, my Lord, you've told me five times your husband died from the flu shot, and yet you feel that because there isn't blood everywhere and a big explosion that you can't prove that? You know it?
I not only, understand exactly what's going on in that woman's mind, but what we also need to understand, especially when you're talking about cancer research and groups or Code Pink or other activist groups, what they also need to hear, when I talk about having the unhealthiest society on the planet, our children suffer the highest level of infant cancer in the free world, in the United States. You know, we're supposed to have the best medical system on the planet. How can we be the highest level, have the highest levels of cognitive dysfunction, immune dysfunction, food allergies, cancers? How can we be the gold medal winners for all of this when we have the most expensive and supposedly the most advanced medical system on the planet? But then, these guys are really good at hiding facts. You brought up something that's another point in my article that I hit on very heavily. That's the SP40 virus, okay, the simian monkey 40 virus. They've known that the simian monkey virus was contaminating especially the polio vaccine, since late 1959, early 1960. They knew this for a fact. They state, and I wrote an article, and once I wrote my article, they took a page off of the CDC because the article I wrote went nuts. and basically what it stated was, in 1960, it wasn't until 1960 that we determined that the polio vaccine and others may have been spiked with the HP40 virus. But by 1963, we had it removed from all of the vaccine stocks. Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. So you're telling me for 3 years, in the middle of the biggest push to vaccinate Americans, all Americans, against polio, in the 3 years at the heart of this, You guys used a vaccine that you knew was tainted with the SB40 cancer-causing virus and administered it to over 100 million Americans knowingly. So now we have the baby boomers, I'm part of the baby boomers, who suffer the highest level of cancer of their age group on the planet. Okay, one out of three baby boomers has died from or is currently going through treatment for cancer. 30% of them. Now, the SV40 virus was supposedly eradicated from all of our vaccines by 1963, but trace amounts of this has been detected in vaccines as late as the year 2000, and some say it could still be in some of the vaccines we're using. Why has America's cancer rate exploded in both our elderly and our infant? In our infants, because of the vaccines they're receiving today. In our elderly, because the huge amount of SB40 virus that we were exposed to in the three doses of polio vaccine we all got. So now the CDC stated on their site, okay, we found it in 1960. By 1963, it was all gone. And I jumped on that like you would not believe, and I wrote an article. And 3 days, 72 hours after I published that article, that fact sheet disappeared off of the CDC website.
Right. No surprise there, but yes, I believe that.
So we're talking about over 100 million Americans that were issued a known cancer-causing vaccine in that over that three-year period. We're talking about food allergies they've known about since the early 1900s. They've known about food allergies being caused by vaccines for over four generations. So now we've got the food allergies. Now we've got the CDC hiding the information on the polio vaccine and the SV40. Then we move up to Dr. Thompson, who had an attack of conscience and said, look, I'm one of the guys who did this, so I know it happened. And now let me ask you a question. Since the CDC was caught with their pants down, and how many hundreds of thousands of African-American children or children, because the African-Americans, according to Dr. Thompson, were in a higher risk group, but the Caucasian, Asian, and Hispanic children were not totally risk-free. But since 13 years ago, when they hid their data about the MMR vaccine being having direct ties to autism, how many children have come down with autism? How many? I can tell you the numbers in the hundreds of thousands. How many of this could have been prevented if the CDC would have published their information? Hundreds of thousands. So there's just three of five right there.
Well, what I'm telling people, if you want to understand autism, it equals no independent future. All of these people will be dependent for the rest
yes.
of their lives.
Absolutely. And that, in fact, is something that most people don't realize. When they say, when they realize, okay, my neighbor has an autistic child, okay, well, that affects my neighbor, it doesn't affect me. Well, you're absolutely wrong. Because by the year 2020, as early as the year 2020, there are some researchers out there, Google this, that are saying as many as 1 in 2 or 50% of all of the children born in this country could be born with some form of autism or another. 1 in 2. Now, what you started to interject here and what is a sterling point, Sally, is let's figure out who's going to take care of half of the population, because over the next two generations, that will turn into half of the population. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to watch them all day long? Who's going to shop for them? Who's going to try and educate them? Who's going to take them to doctor visits? And the people who will have to do this with an ever-increasing up to and probably above 50% of our population, what is it that they will never accomplish in life? Because they have to spend their entire life taking care of these autistic children, young adults, and elderly individuals. So what we're going to see is a societal breakdown economically, time-wise, and in many other aspects, emotionally.
Human resources will be used up caring for those who cannot care for themselves. So you're
absolutely
either going to be autistic or be caring for someone who is.
And then you watch. I'm about to say something that's going to shock everybody. But if you don't consider this, then you're really not looking at the big picture. If a government doesn't realize that in 1960, the rate of autism detected was well over 1 in 25,000, some doctors never seeing autistic symptoms in their entire careers, okay? That's in 1960. So we're talking a little over 60, 70 years later, we're sitting at 1 in 28 male children and 1 in 50 female children. And by the year 2020, that could rise to 1 in 2 children. So we're talking in a period of about 80 years or 4 generations, going from a very healthy, vibrant, and thinking society to a mentally broken down society. It's not the fault of these autistic people. But if you don't think the government doesn't know this, doesn't know exactly what's causing it, doesn't know exactly where it's coming from, they know more than we know. Okay? So they do understand.
I want to tell you what teachers have called and told me, because they're certainly on the front lines of observing what's happening. A few years back, I got a call from a teacher, and she said there are 6 times this year the number of autistic children or special needs children, I won't say autistic, but special needs children, 6 times of the previous year, just from one year to another. And then I got another call from a different teacher who said, we no longer have special needs classes because everybody is special needs. That was about a year ago.
I've heard pretty much the same horror stories from other people. Actually, one was a teacher and one was a school nurse. But the point I'm getting at here is when you've got 50% of a society that is nothing but, and this is in a crass individual's eyes, not mine, nothing but a weight on that society, then people start to talk eugenics again. If you are giving nothing to society and all you are doing is taking things away from society, then there's got to be a pleasant way to put you out to pasture. Don't think I'm kidding when I say this. Because if you don't understand that this government doesn't understand how bad this is getting and how fast it's increasing, and that you can't stop it now. At this point, it is progressing under its own weight. You can stop the vaccines, you can stop the medication, you can stop the biotoxins, but you've got, 6-month-old children now that are going to have to live an entire life through this. So we are at a point right now where if you don't believe our government isn't fully aware of everything we're discussing, and if you don't believe that 2 generations or 40 years from now, they're not going to be talking seriously about eugenics or population reduction of those who cannot benefit the society, then you haven't been looking at what's going on around you. You can't talk about things like that today if you're part of the government. There will come a day very soon, because of what you brought up, Sally, where it will find its way back into conversations.
Wow.
Hello.
And I'm still educating people to speak to this woman. It just rocked my world to listen to how much vaccine damage was a part of hers and all of her children's grandchildren, you know, and the nephew and the and she had no idea that all of this stemmed from vaccination. She didn't have a clue. And I was like, wow. She said, all of my grandchildren are on inhalers. They're all allergic to all these different things, diabetes, leukemia, sudden shaken baby syndrome. I mean, and none of that was she relating to the cause. So this is our mission. I mean, even though we are educating people regarding the poisons that are in the vaccines, 100% of them are poisonous. And 100% of the ingredients within them are poisonous. But we must really take as our mission describing the reactions to the vaccine so that people can identify, as I identified for this woman last night whose family is riddled with it, that this is an outcome from vaccination. I mean, for me to say you will outlive your grandchildren, and it just slipped out of my mouth. I really wanted to take it back the minute I said it. But at the same token, it's kind of like, can we save one of them for your hearing this? Just one of them?
Yeah. Well, I've got two more points that I want to hit on, and I'm not rushing this because I enjoy having conversations with you, because you're one of these people who's well-armed to have a conversation like this. But let's talk about another thing here. Let's talk about one of the biggest lies out there, and that's the flu shot that the CDC pushes so vehemently, okay? Let's talk about a flu shot that kills more seniors than you would ever guess, because a lot of the deaths caused by seniors who get the flu shot, it's not attributed to the flu shot, okay? But many, many deaths are attributed to these vaccines, all right? Now, let's talk about the flu shot and whether or not it worked, okay? There was a Navy ship last year that pulled out of port with 98% vaccinated crew. With the flu vaccine, 98% of them were vaccinated. Pulled back in a couple of weeks later because they had nobody left to run the ship. Everybody on the ship was down sick with the flu. The only two people who didn't have the flu were the two or three who never got the flu shot. So the entire ship that was vaccinated with the flu shot came down with the flu, and they had to pull the ship back in. The CDC has said, okay, last year we missed the mark. The flu shot's not going to be very effective this year, but you should still get it anyway. All right, they know when they say we missed the mark, the how many strains of flus and how fast these change. They morph, okay, from year to year. It's a crapshoot to get a flu shot that even hits a strain that's running at the time. But that's not even the biggest problem. The biggest lie you're being told about the flu shot, and as many people who get sick from the flu shot or who die from the flu shot have been lied to, this is the biggest lie. If you got the flu shot 2 years ago and you got the flu shot last year, when you got the flu shot last year, you were not partially protected from the year before. You were 43% after you got the flu shot. 43%. Okay, more apt to get the flu than if you didn't get the flu shot. People who get multiple flu shots over the course of multiple years actually decrease their immunity to the flu. This is a statistical fact. If you got the flu shot last year and you're going to get it this year, you're 43% more apt to get the flu than somebody who didn't get the flu shot. Are you listening to me? And the CDC is well aware that if you get flu shots year after year after year, you not only decrease the effectiveness of the flu shots, you decrease your body's immunity to the flu in total. How many people have heard of that, Sally? How many people even know that consecutive flu shots do exactly the opposite of what you're being told they do?
Yep, that's for sure. And that was a very good video you had that explained at length what you just said succinctly.
Mm-hmm. When I rant,
wow.
Sometimes I get a little over anxious and things don't exactly come out in the proper order, but they do come out. This is one organization. Go ahead.
No, I'm not speaking. Go ahead.
Okay. So let's talk about one more thing, and then we can throw this whatever time we've got left to open discussion. Okay?
We have 5 minutes left, just so you realize. 5 minutes.
Okay. Did you know that 40 years of research done by the FDA and the CDC on health matters and proper nutrition on and what to eat and how to eat it and when to eat it had to be thrown out the door? 40 years of FDA and CDC research paid for by you and I was found faulty by a third-party university that was asked to check over their information. They found out for the last 40 years all of the information that the EPA and the CDC health-wise to keep us healthy in our nutrition, everything they have based their recommendation on has all been through faulty science. So all of the things they've been telling us to eat, not to eat, when to eat, how much to drink, what not to drink, so on and so forth, don't eat butter, don't eat eggs, whatever, all 40 years of research were based on a proven wrong premise. So it all had to be thrown out the door. How many lives do you think have been ruined over the last two generations due to faulty health information coming from the CDC and the FDA? Just guess.
Well, we are malnourished as a result. We are a malnourished nation.
Malnourished and fat. We're an obese society who doesn't have enough nutrients or vitamins.
I don't know if you just saw, well, I just want to tell you about Dr. Richard Pan, the pharma darling from California. He just
I've written on
came out.
Times.
Well, his latest proclamation is that we have to get rid of dietary supplements because they're not approved by the FDA. They're not approved by the FDA.
And how many things that were approved by the FDA got pulled back out of circulation because they were killing people? People were dropping dead. So I have to wait until the FDA approves something to know that it'll probably kill me if I take it.
Well, as you say, they know they're doing it. This is the real problem. When I wrote the bill, you know, Ban Vaccines 2013, I had knowledge beyond the knowledge I had in my 2009 bill, All Vaccines Are Banned, that the intent is to harm us. So once, you know, it's poison, so you'd think that would be sufficient. It's creating all diseases in internal medicine, so that should be sufficient. But the intent has been unearthed to create these problems. And so, you know,
Basically to call the population to a more manageable level without having to use horrendous mechanisms such as nuclear war. Did I lose you?
No.
Hello?
I'm eating for the first time today. Please forgive me. I'm just starving.
No, don't worry.
It's 6:44 in the evening, and I haven't had a bite to eat, so I was taking a moment to eat, which is probably completely without nutritional value. You know, I'm just
of course.
Eating. Who knows? Well, is it counting for anything?
It's 4:45 here, and I'm probably 5 sips into a cup of coffee I poured at 6:30 this morning.
Oh, Roger. Wow.
I do this 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. I write articles. I do radio shows. I do television shows. And the only way they're going to shut me up is to put me under.
Well, it's 6:44. We have 1 minute left, Roger. Why don't you say goodbye and leave people with a pearl of wisdom?
Well, what I would tell everybody is that you need to be listening to advocates such as Sally Elcordi, because these are the people who are giving you the information you need to keep both you and your children alive and healthy.